What I said last time I was up here, you think I'm responsible for this weather. And I'll have you know, I didn't pray for the rain, just the snow. I consider myself to be a teacher, not a preacher. I've spent most of my life doing that in one way or another. And so what we're going to do today is going to be quite different, I think, than what you're used to. And I'm not going to use this thing all that much, just on a few occasions, because what I want to share with you, it'll be easier that way. I think a good teacher, Mrs. Dunkerton, you can back me up here, I hope. A good teacher realizes that you get more learning across if you get some audience or class participation. You get some involvement, right? And I have a feeling that much too often it's a one-way thing. That is, the speaker stands up and does all the giving, and you sit there and do all the taking in, or sleep, or let your mind wander, or something like that. And maybe you've observed this of me before, and that is that I'm kind of something of a troublemaker, on occasions at least, because in discussions I'll throw out questions where I already have my own opinions, simply to arouse some discussion, and maybe my question is even contrary to what I believe, if I think I can make you do some thinking by that question. So that's what I'm intending to accomplish today. I'm not going to lecture you or preach at you, but what I want to try to do is I want to make you think. I hope that won't be too painful. And I want to begin with a question. It's the new year, and we ought to begin a new year perhaps by taking some assessment of last year, and perhaps doing a little bit of forethought for the year to come. And here's my question. And by the way, if you're here this morning, the only way you're going to hear the conclusion of this is come tonight, because I don't intend to conclude my message this morning at all. There won't be any conclusion. It'll just be continued tonight. So I guess if there are those here tonight who weren't here this morning, I'll have to have some sort of a review. But here's the question. The question is this, and remember, I'm going to make you do some thinking. And I'm not promising you that you always like what I ask you. The question is, how successful have we, and I use the word we, include the word we in my definition would be Christians, members of the body of Christ. How successful have we been on our mission? Okay? Now, I want you to think about that, and I'm going to try to help you think about that and see if we can come up with an answer. And so we're going to cover today, this morning and this evening, three main items. We're going to cover evaluation. See, I'm already starting to sound like a school teacher. Evaluation, examination, and expectation. You got that? And the first one is evaluation. And if we're going to get any kind of an answer to the question, then we're going to have to examine our, I guess we're going to have to examine our performance. And when I started to think about this, I was reminded of something that in business, and as most of you know, I spent 17 years in the insurance business, and I mention that because it will have some bearing on what I'm going to say. One of the devices used in business is called management by objective. And the intention here is to get business management to manage and to direct that business based on where it wants to go. Make sense? And now that sounds very simple. It's not quite as easy as it would appear on the surface. And the very fact that many, many businesses have had to employ management consultants and so on to try to straighten them out when they've gotten themselves in a mess is proof that it isn't easy. Businesses with a lot of high-powered people often find themselves really not pursuing their objective. But this is a very important thing because, for one thing, it gives a business a measuring stick, a means of determining performance. Let me give you an example. A job description. I don't know what your thought, what thought comes to your mind when I mention a job description, but one of the functions of a job description should be that the persons responsible somewhere down the line are able to sit down with you or with me and say, now, Bob, let's see how you've performed in comparison with your job description. So it becomes a measuring tool, okay? And we go down through the list and say, done fine there, done fine. How about this one here? You kind of blew it, didn't you? So really, the job description becomes a little bit of a... It has to involve objectives, and we can sit down with it later on, somewhere down the line, and use it as a measuring tool in order to come up with performance. And that, of course, that same general principle applies to groups, to sales force or something like that. Now then, I think the next thing we have to try to define, and this isn't easy. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure when we're done with it that you'll agree with me. But I think we need to determine what our objectives are. And I'm glad Jim began the way he did, because as far as I'm concerned, Jim, I don't know of any place else to find out what our objectives are as Christians other than the Scripture. I would fear that if we go anywhere else, we'll be off base and we'll be misled. So I'd like for you, and then I'm going to get you involved a little bit, because I'm going to ask you, so you listen close as we read these verses. I want you to look them up with me. I'm going to read some verses, and then I'm going to ask you to tell me what our objectives are as Christians. Let me just make this statement first. I don't believe that God saves us simply for us to remain here in some sort of a comfort zone where we bask in some sort of a glow where we just feel good all over, you know. I feel so good. And because I'm a Christian now, and I know my sins are forgiven, hallelujah, I'm going to go to heaven, that's the end of that. And, you know, God just kind of leaves us here for that purpose, and that's it. And I frankly find nothing in Scripture that backs that kind of thing up. I don't really see any reason if there's no other purpose, if God has no other purpose for us, I see no reason why, if that's the case, that the moment that you're saved, Deb, God doesn't just take you home, because it's got to be better in heaven than here. If there's no other purpose for us being around than that, you see. So let's turn together, beginning with Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. I'm going to read these without comment. Then remember what I'm going to do. So you better pay attention. I'm going to ask you to tell me what our objectives are. Matthew 5, I think, I'm not saying there's only one, by the way. I believe that God has more than one objective for us. And I'm reading from the New American Standard, by the way. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay, now to the 28th chapter of Matthew. One verse. Some of these are pretty familiar to you. Matthew 28:19. Maybe I'll back up one verse just to tie it together to verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now turn to Mark 16. Verse 15. Just another from another one of the Gospels, the same verse. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, if you'd just go on back, please, to John chapter 15. Verses 1 and 2. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8. By this, now listen, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let me read that verse again. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Now, in all fairness, one more verse back in Galatians. You're probably ahead of me. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, now it's your turn. What? Again, let me say I'm not saying that the verses we've read totally would cover all of the objectives, but from the verses we've read and others that you might think of, what do you think are our objectives as Christians? Not everybody at once. Well, Jack?
Well, I think the first objective should be that we should seek to witness to the Lord. I mean, to carry the message of the gospel, whether it be by lip or by life, we should propagate the gospel.
Okay. I agree. I'm not sure that's first. You know, I'm not sure it isn't either. What do you think, Jim? You had something in mind? Okay. Hey, incidentally, you know, John chapter 15 is one that... Well, in the first place, it used to scare me because I felt it was so deep I always steered away from it, and then I never would have preached from it because I thought it was, you know, just beyond me. But I happen to think sometimes we miss the real point of John 15 because we dwell on the aspect of abiding, and that is very important. But the real point, I believe, of these the first part of John chapter 15 is the intention is that it has to do with bearing fruit. Somebody else. Mr. Duncan.
Well, a few years ago, one of my main goals might have been to bring a family up for the Lord, but that family will grow up now. I think in my own case, at the present time, my principal objective, as far as the Lord's work is concerned, is to feel the Lord has called me to help keep this assembly and the Greenville Bible Conference in a strong position so that the Lord's work can radiate out from it effectively.
Okay. Anybody else? Hal?
Isn't our highest occupation to be worshipped?
Is it? I don't know. Okay, I'm not saying it isn't, but how about you, Bert? I'll pick on you, but
I've chosen my Lord to walk with Him and to work with Him to get Him to pray that He puts up the deserves, and then while I'm through with Jack to introduce the gospel to introduce those that I come in contact with to the way of salvation provided by our Lord. And then along the same lines as Jack said, either by speaking to them or by living in praise to them, like you produce fruit as you mentioned, John 15.
Okay. Let's move ahead. And the next question I'd like to throw out to you is simply this, that assuming these collectively are our objectives, and I happen to agree with them, I'm not trying to place them in any particular order of importance. I believe they are our objectives. And it seems to me the next logical question is, how are we doing? That is, how are we doing in terms of meeting these objectives? And in order to bring out some particular points I'm after, and in order to get down to the nitty-gritty of that answer, which I happen to think is not right on the surface, it's not quite as easy as it might appear, because I think generally we'd say we're doing great, but I want to use, again, going back, I'd like to use an example from business. And the particular business that I want to look at is the Galtnico Company. Now, I know you haven't ever heard of that company, but being in the insurance business, why, I thought we should use the... The Great American Love Thy Neighbor Insurance Company. And you won't find that in Best Insurance Guide. But at any rate, I want to use an example here and spend a little time on this. And if you just kind of project yourself into the situation here, we're going to be at the... annual stockholders meeting, all right? And present at that, of course, are all of the stockholders, or a great many of them, and the board of directors and the officers and all sorts of dignitaries. And the very first thing on the agenda is, because this is a sales company, it's the very first thing on the agenda is the report on sales. And you'll notice here, if you can read it, I'll be able to get that better than that. Now, can you read that? Talking about 1978 sales, all right? And this is not a terribly big insurance company. However, their sales objectives for the year 1978 was $60 million. And a year ago, when they all, the board and the vice presidents and so on, they sat down and they, using all their wonderful wisdom, they concluded that what they ought to shoot for is a 5% increase in sales. Now, in order not to complicate things, I just left off investment income and growth and all that sort of stuff, you know. Just pure sales here. They set up an objective of $60 million, and they broke it down by the six different districts they had. $12 million for District A, and $8 million for B, and $10 million for C and D, and $9 million for E, and $11 million for District F. Which came to $60 million. Now, I just put in a little footnote here that in 1977, the sales for this wonderful insurance company had been $57 million. Well, they've punched the buttons and on the computer and run through all the tab runs and got all the reports in, and the big results are that District A sold $13 million and B $6 million. You want to compare these now to the objectives back up here. C and D hit it right on the nose, $10 million apiece, and E got $8 million, and F got $10 million, and what do you know, they came up with $57 million, which just so happens to be the same as back here in 1977, same time of the year. Okay, so much for the sales report. You know, these stockholders meetings, everybody gets a chance to tell what's happened, and so I just, in all fairness, we're going to run through and see what else was said. You might think I'm way off in left field somewhere, but I'm not. And I'm making a point. I want you to hang in there with me. So all the department heads are going to get a report. And so the vice president of buildings and grounds is given his chance, and he says, you know, it's obvious to you gentlemen that it's been a very successful year. Here we sit in this beautiful new home office building, which we've just completed, a new $15 million home office building. We're very proud of that. And we feel it's been a very good year. The vice president of advertising simply says, well, the highlight of the year for our department was that we were given an Emmy for the best TV advertising in the insurance industry. Fantastic. And vice president of marketing reported that an insurance industry survey showed that we of the Galtnico Insurance Company have one of the very best trained sales forces in the entire insurance industry. We got more CLUs and CPCUs than any company in the business. And the one little smart aleck stockholder sounds off in the back. He says, yeah, I know about that CPCU. That means can't produce and can't underwrite. If you want to know what it really means, I'll tell you later. The vice president of data processing. Well, we have now the most advanced billing system in the business. Matter of fact, nobody can understand it now. Vice president of personnel reports the best personnel manual voted at the recent insurance company personnel directors convention. And finally, the president gets his turn. He says, well, gentlemen, it's very obvious that this has been an outstanding year. And I'm just thrilled to be able to stand up here and make this report. We can hold our heads up high. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you'll all agree that all of the corporate officers should be voted a fine bonus this time of the year. And, of course, there's all the applause and so on, you know. But back in the back of the room, there's a fellow stands up, raises his hand, says, sir, I have a question. Yeah, all right. So how did we do on our sales objective? And suddenly there's deadly silence. Deadly silence. Well, you know, we did as well as last year. Yeah, I know, but didn't we say we were going to increase sales by 5%? And isn't it true that this is the fourth year in a row that we have failed as a company to meet our objectives? Well, yes, but look at all the other wonderful things that happened. No, our new home office building and the awards we got and so on. And the stockholder says, I appreciate all that. He said, but I do think it's time that maybe we call in some management consultants and find out why it is we're not meeting our objectives. Now, I don't know whether you get anything from all that or not, but I hope so. I'd like to share something else with you. Now, if we begin, this is a little statistic. You can work it out on your calculator if you want to. Several times I have made an example and I never have stopped to figure it out, so I decided to do it this time. And I have said, I would imagine that if you went back say to the year 1000 and began with one Christian, and he would lead one person to to the Lord the next year. That'd be two Christians, right? They all with me? And the following year, they each in turn would lean one person, just one, to the Lord. Now there's four. Got that? Now that's the process I'm using. Each one leads one person to the Lord each year. And I thought to myself, and I said, I would just bet that the world would be evangelized by now. So, in order to come up with the example and be something more accurate, I decided to play around with those figures, and I simply just started that little process. And I found out that that's not true. It wouldn't have taken 1900 years or anywhere near that, because after 88 years, you're up to a figure of 4 billion, believe it or not. Now, you may think that that kind of reproduction is unreasonable, and you're entitled to be wrong, but I'm not trying to make that as a statistic or an objective that we should all strive for. I'm simply using that by way of an example. And it would seem to me that if we objectively look at this and would simply put up beside it in our mind what we have achieved, we'd have to realize that we've come up a long, 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 long way short of that, haven't we? Because we've had 2,000 years, and I wasn't able to really find, again, the statistics I wanted to find, but I found some that were 10 or so years old in an encyclopedia as to how many Protestants there are in the world, and that's a rather meaningless statistic, because I can't figure in that how many of them really know the Lord. But percentage wise, it's for sure we're in the minority. And so again, I ask you the simple question in relation to our objectives to bring us to this point: how do you think we're doing on our objectives? And one of the things we have to do when we start to talk in terms of objectives, and one of the problems that we always run into, it seems, is that we like to leave the objectives. And I believe, if you'll give me that liberty, that that's one of the greatest places where we have fallen down. And if we really look at what we have accomplished and are accomplishing and what we're doing, and we try to evaluate, and that's what we're doing right now. This is point one in my outline. We're evaluating our performance in relation to our objectives, okay? Very simple. We're simply trying to say, how did we do? How have we, not in 1 year, but how have we, since the Lord gave us that commission, how have we done? How are we doing now? And I think when we start looking at something like this, I have these questions that come into my mind. And frankly, this particular overall subject I'm sharing with you, and I want to I'll just tell you how what happens to me when somebody says, as Burr said to me a month ago, "Bob, would you speak on January 7th? And I said, "Yes, I will." One of the very first things I do is I pray about that. And I say, "Lord, what, you know, I'm a little different, or at least I think I am, a little different from the guy who appears in the pulpit every Sunday morning. I don't know what he does. I think that'd be a little tough. However, when I approach this situation, the thought that goes through my mind is, what does God want me to share with you that is relevant and significant, of any importance at all?" And most of the time, what I speak about is the thing that God has been impressing me about recently. I think probably most of us, when we speak, that's true. You know, it may be from the book of Deuteronomy, or whatever. Or it may be from the 10th and the 9th and 10th chapter of Hebrews. It's something that God's been speaking to me about. And it really weighs on me, and I feel very strongly about it. And I'm very concerned about this. Maybe it's something that God's been teaching me in my own life. And when I come to that point where somebody asks me to speak, and I try to, when I pray about that, and I try to figure what is it I can share, yeah, generally that's the direction it takes. And this whole subject has just really been on my mind and my heart for a long time. It's not real recent, except that it just seems to have built up. And I feel that sometimes, folks, we're spinning our wheels. We're going through the motions. And I look at us collectively, and please understand, I'm not pointing a finger, because when I do in the first place, you know, the old example, they all point back to me, and I'm as concerned about my part in the whole thing as anybody else's. But I sometimes have asked myself this question: if I were out there, we call that the world. If I were out there, you know, and I were looking for something, and probably really didn't know what I was looking for, but I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people in that boat. The world is really full of people that are searching for an answer in life, but they have no idea what they're searching for. So the question becomes, is how good a job are we doing in being, in helping, in sharing, or whatever you want to call it, so that when these people that are looking see us, they say, "That's what I want." You know what I think? Honest. I think a lot of times they look and say, "What do they got that I want?" Now, I'm being just as frank as I know how, but I really feel that way. I think a lot of times if I were out there and I looked at me or you And I had that question in my mind. That's the answer I'd come up with. I'm not sure I'd say, man, that's what I want. And I feel, if I know anything and read anything about the Scripture, and there's an awful lot I don't, but I somehow, and we have been in our CBMC Saturday morning breakfast studying the book of Acts, and I have the same thing happen to me every time I read that book. It kind of starts to just turn me upside down. I've shared this at the breakfast many times. I probably sound like a broken record. Every time I read in there, you know, they did this with power. They were all together in one accord. I thought, wow! You know, I get through reading and I said, that's it? I think if I saw them, I'd say, that's what I want. But I don't know how to put my finger on it. Except that somewhere between there and here, there's a big gap. And we don't look much like that church in the book of Acts. A lot of times we can talk an awful good game. But, you know, somewhere along the line, we fall short. And that's why I'm asking you, and I'm bringing it right out here. I said, let's evaluate it. How would you do it if you were, see, the officers of this great American Love Thy Neighbor insurance company, and the stockholders put you on the spot, see, and say, that's all well and good. So, big deal. You've got this great big new home office building and the best accounting system, and you got all these awards. Hey, but folks, that isn't what we're in business for. You missed the boat. That's not our objectives. I'll tell you what, I know what I'm talking about because I've been through this in the company I was with. And it's really quite a revelation to you to be brought up short and be confronted with the fact that it's nice for you and to have all these other things. That's great. Beautiful to work in this comfortable new office building. But if you're going broke in the process and you're not making your sales objectives, and in a day of inflation like we're in, that's a bad picture, this other one I showed you. For that insurance company, they're in trouble. And yet on the surface, they look like they really got it together. And they're really a success. It takes some little stockholder to grab them by the throat and wake them up and say, wait a minute, guys. We're just not hacking it. We're not making our objectives. Now then, back to reality. I think we had a general consensus as to what our objectives were. And I want to say this, in all fairness, as we close this morning, I hope I can pull together the loose ends of this tonight and challenge you with a solution. It's not my solution. I'm not going to try to say, I got the answer, folks. But I think the Scripture does. And at this point, in closing, I want to simply say, every one of you, you're totally entitled to your opinion. And you can say, Bob, You're wrong. One, these aren't our objectives. So you might disagree with me there. And you have every right to disagree with me there. Secondly, you can say, hey, we're making them. We're making our objectives. We're doing fine. No sweat, no problem. And, you're entitled to arrive at the end of our evaluation session, which is what we've done this morning. That's what we've accomplished, and that's exactly what I intended to accomplish. We've come down to the end where we're going to pray and go home. That's the end of our evaluation session, and when we get there, you can come to one or two conclusions. We got a problem, we're not making our objective, or by